morning, 1 second. 5. Torreyway, Northwest London. Chof Base, Adar Base, 29th of March. Rav David Kaplan, Parsha Shmini.
Was a an outreach organization in Eretz Yisrael. How do you know I said anything then? there was an outreach organization in Eretz Yisrael. Outreach. Kirov. Is that better now? Yeah, no, my parents always told me I'm too loud, so, you know, it's been a very difficult thing to try to work out the happy compromise. There was an outreach, Kirov organization, Eretz Yisrael, and they had a Shabbaton for the alumni from this Kirov organization. They got together, they had a Shabbaton. So, you know, these were Israelis, Baal Tshuvas, who come a long way. And they're sitting there together at the Shabbaton, and they had a very elaborate Lel Shabbos meal. And then they brought out the dessert. So they brought out watermelon. So one of the guys is standing there, one of the Balei Tshuva, and he says, he picks up a piece of watermelon. He goes, Baruch Atah Hashem, Kol Ni'eh B'Dvaro. So just then one of the Rabbonim passed by. He said, listen, you know, B'Dievet, you're Yotzei, but L'maisa, the bracha on watermelon is Adoma. He says, I make a Shakol. He says, I know you make a shakol, I heard you, but lemaisa, the bracha is adoma. He says, I make a shakol. He says, okay, why do you make a shakol? So he says, look, in the 1973 war, I was on the Golan Heights, and I was in a tank unit, and we were surrounded by Syrian tanks. And we knew we were finished. We were in a tank unit, we knew we were goners. And it was a completely, you know, the last minutes of life, so somebody goes over the communication system, he says, does anybody here know how to pray? Anybody know how to daven? We are a completely secular unit. There was one kibbutznik, a young man who had been on a kibbutz, a left-wing kibbutz. He only knew one thing. He knew how to make a shahakol. So this guy goes, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shahakol Ni'eh B'Dvaro. Boom, somebody pushes the thing. Boom, they knock out a Syrian tank. So all of a sudden, in unison, they all started saying together, Baruch Atah Hashem, Shahakol Ni'eh B'Dvaro. Boom, he said, Rabbi, we all survived. We knocked out every single one of those tanks. If a shahakol is good enough for the Syrians, it's good enough for watermelon. So, the true story. So, Lamaisa, you know, the Musar Haskell is sometimes in life, you want to do the right thing. And it feels like the right thing, but it isn't the right thing. Lebaisa, it's a very nice story, but you don't make a shahakol. Sometimes people think bidiyeved means it's also okay. Bidiyeved means it's usur. You're not allowed to do it. That's what bidiyeved means. It just happens to be that if you did it, you happen to be yotzei. It doesn't mean, sometimes people think bidiyeved means I have an alternative option. So, none of an aviyu in this week's parsha. You know, they want to do something which is tremendous. They want to bring in a ketores. You know, want to bring in the whatever. They have different opinions among the Mefarshim exactly what it is that they wanted to do, what they did wrong. The bottom line is, you're trying to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu at the highest level. I was once walking in Or Sameach, so I was on the walkway, and I saw two guys were having an argument. And I could tell it was they're having some sort of disagreement. And I walked past, and one of the guys says, Rabbi, can we ask you a question? You know, I got used to this already. You know, when you develop a second, I go, okay. You know, I'm a little bit wary. He says, Rabbi, can we ask you a question? Yeah. He says, well, he heard, you know, isn't it true that a shahakol, you're yotzei on everything? So I said, well, under most circumstances, bidiyeved, it works. So the guy who asked the question, he looks at the other guy, he goes, see? And the other guy looks at me, he rolls his eyes, he goes, Rabbi, you know, he just heard thunder and he made a shahakol on the thunder. I said to him, you know, there are certain times it doesn't work, number one. Number two, we don't know the bracha achrona on thunder. So, no, we're not going to be able to do that. So, sometimes in life, a person wants to do the right thing. So, not of an aviyu, obviously they want to do the right thing. So, I saw first of all, I think you've heard already the Mefarshim say that when not of an aviyu, whatever their motivation was, and Chazal bring down quite a few midrashim, what they did wrong, the bottom line is that the Pasuk itself says, Vayikhu v'nei Aaron nodaveu ish machtoso, vayidu v'ayin eish, v'asimu la'ketoretz, v'yakiv v'Hashem, eish zora. It's at the end of the day, with all of the reasons and all of the motivation, at the end of the day, it's an eish zora. This is not what you were asked to do. You are stepping over the bounds. Once you step over the bounds, it's called an eish zora, no matter how pure and how wonderful the motivation. There is an opinion. It says, one of the midrashim is that they were walking behind Moshe and Aaron, and they said, Masai Yamusu, when will these two elderly men die so that we can take over the leadership of the people? And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, let's see who's going to outlive who. There are plenty of old camels that carry the skins of young camels on their backs. That's what Chazal brings up. So a person, not of an aviyah, so when are they going to die so we can take over? Now, not of an aviyah, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Aaron that they're greater than us. So obviously, it can't be that they're just like, when are they going to die so we could that we can take over? And these were not Israeli politicians. So it wasn't the question of, well, we want to take over the head of the party. It wasn't, you know, I don't know if English politicians are any better, but they weren't Israeli politicians. So there are Mefarshim that say that the ultimate level, the highest level in life, is to die up Kiddush Hashem. And they were saying, Masai Yamusu, when will our Moshe and Aaron die? So that we can then take over and die up Kiddush Hashem. And that they want the ultimate schutz of being able to die up Kiddush Hashem. And even that is going to be something that a person always has to remember, that, but you weren't asked to do that right now. I want to, something that I see all the time, I think that needs a clarification. The concept of Kiddush Hashem, there's a lot of confusion just in the concept of Kiddush Hashem. Many people think that the ultimate Kiddush Hashem is, you know, when you go to the airport and we're being watched by the non-members of the tribe and we do something good and, you know, and some a goy is impressed by something we do, we think, ooh, a Kiddush Hashem. The ultimate Kiddush Hashem is in front of Jews. It's in front of 10 Jews is the ultimate. The ultimate Kiddush Hashem is to not speak during davening. That's a Kiddush Hashem. The ultimate Kiddush Hashem is to sit in the base medrash and be seen learning. That's a Kiddush Hashem. There's also a Kiddush Hashem. The ultimate, obviously, is to give up one's life if one has to give up one's life. That's the first darga of Kiddush Hashem. When a person is in a matzav of Yehori Gal Yavor and he passes it, that's the ultimate Kiddush Hashem. But the day-to-day Kiddush Hashem is not in front of the goyim. The day-to-day Kiddush Hashem is in front of Jews. And there's a lot of confusion on this, because I have a friend that told me once that every time he gets on an airplane, he looks around to help people put their bags on top, because he knows he's in public and he's going to be watching, which is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And it is a Kiddush Hashem. That's not the ultimate Kiddush Hashem. That's not the ultimate Kiddush Hashem. For Avigdor Miller, Zitzel, he said, an unbelievable chap, if you think about this and you think about ourselves, I think it's right on target. He said, you know, why is it that if you go to an airport or if you go to a government, you give back money and the goy is impressed, why is it that we feel, ooh, what a Kiddush Hashem? Deep down inside, what we're really thinking is, see, we are better than you. That's what we're really thinking. When it comes to Jews, which is the Kiddush Hashem, that's where we should be more excited. But when it comes to the guy, you say, aha, see, we've been telling you for a few thousand years, we are better. So a person has to know that the ultimate Kiddush Hashem, I had a young man in Chicago who once went to rent some Yeshiva Bokram, they're going on a vacation, they needed to rent some sort of truck. So they went to the outskirts of Chicago, with kind of a rednecky town, and they went into this truck rental. So the guy says to him, you need two or three pieces of identification to rent the truck. He gives him one. He was missing one piece of identification. So he says, he needed two, he needed three, he only had two, whatever it was. So the guy says to him, listen, you need three pieces. He says, I only have two pieces. I only have two pieces of identification. The guy looks at him, he says, I can't rent it to you. He says, yeah, but I haven't got, he looks at him, he says, roll back your sleeve. says, what? He says, roll back your sleeve.
Who's
that? So he wrote, the truck rental guy. He says to the young man, roll back your sleeve. So he rolls back his sleeve, and he sees the tefillin marks. He says, oh, you got those marks on your arm. Okay, you don't need the third piece of identification. Right? Could you imagine who said, oh, you got those marks on your arm. Forget it. I'm not renting to you. Last time I did something like you, I ended up getting sued. Forget about it. You know, it could get in both directions. It's a beautiful thing. It's a Kiddush Hashem. That's not the ultimate Kiddush Hashem. The ultimate Kiddush Hashem is B'soch B'nei Yisrael, the Pasuk says. That's the ultimate Kiddush Hashem. That's something we always have to keep in mind. So when Nadav and Aviyu come in, they want to die of course over for the Wada Kiddush Hashem. I want to go for a little bit of a ride. Let's go for a little ride, Rabosei. There are quite a few midrashim here. So one of the midrashim of what they did wrong, there's one midrash that says, they said Masai Yamusu, the one we mentioned. Number two, they were Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabba. Yeah, you have a Rebbe, you're not allowed to, you can't go to the Rebbe and be Mora Halacha. You got the Rebbe in front of you, Moshe Rabbeinu is here, what do you buy? You have a good idea, go ask the Rebbe. It was such a good idea. I once had, I think it was a Chol HaMoed Sukkis, and I was supposed to say, I forgot to say Yal V'Yovo, my second or third time through the Shemona Esrei. I forgot something I left out in davening. And so a friend of mine, I was learning an Avreich that I knew very well, a good friend of mine, he was talking to another Gadol. And I saw the other Gadol there, I wasn't sure, I forget if I had to repeat Shemona Esrei or not. So there were two of them were standing talking together, so I walked over to them. And I turned to the other one, I said, you know, I messed up, do I have to repeat Shemona Esrei? So before he could say anything, my friend looked at me and goes, yeah, you have to repeat it. So I looked at the other one, he just went like that. Okay, so I walked away. After I finished Shemona Esrei, my friend walks over to me and he says to me, by the way, when you walked away, he said to me, you realize now you're Chayiv Misa, don't you? Right? Don't do it again. So personally, he was good enough to wait for me to walk away. I guess he was worried that I would carry out the skila. So he waited for me to walk away. But at the end of the day, number two is they were bora halacha. Number three, it says lo natlu eitz azumizu. They would not even consult each other. Nadav and Aviyu had a great idea. Each one had an idea, and they didn't consult with each other. There's even I saw one of the Farshim says that they ended up in the Kodesh HaKadoshim independently. In other words, only one person is allowed at a time in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and had only one of them gone in, nothing bad would have happened. But they weren't no talaitza zubizu. They won each one. Nadav goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Aviyu goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And I'll say, like, what are you doing here? They met each other. That was the flaw. Lo natlu eitz azumizu. Remarkable. Number four, lo nasu nashim. They wouldn't get married and have children. They felt, nobody's roi. We are miyuchas. Nobody's roi for us. There were shidduch issues in those days too, apparently. Nobody's roi for us. They're not good enough. We're not ready to get married. They wouldn't get married. Number five, lo yapita matzui lo vrei drachim. Somehow there were passers-by guests that could have offered food to them. They didn't give them their guests, their bread. And number six, they were shesuyei yayin, they were drunk. Now, drunk doesn't mean drunk like we understand drunk. Shesuyei yayin, they drank more wine than they're allowed to drink in order to do this. Okay, those are the six of Joshua. So I saw a remarkable mahalach here. There's a common thread that runs through all these midrashim. There's a common denominator connecting every one of these flaws that Chazal point out in Nadav and Aviyu. What was the flaw? What was the common thread? So, everybody, one of the 48 kinyanim of Torah, it says, Amakir es bekomo. Person has to know his station in life. Person in all areas of life, not just in Limud Torah. Person has to know where he ranks in the pecking order. And Nadav and Aviyu wanted to take over the Hanhaga. They wanted to be the Mashpiyim in Klal Yisrael. But that wasn't their role right now. Their role right now was to be a mushba, not a mashpia. They had to be a mekabel at this point. Rav Shach Zatzal in Yeshiva Ktana, Rav Shach was very much against Bochrim in yeshivas putting together a chabura and saying a chabura in yeshiva. And what could be wrong? A bochur sits down with a piece of gemara, he learns up a piece of gemara, he gives it over, he learns to express himself, he learns to up the sugya well. Everything wonderful about it. Rav Shach was very much against it because he felt, as soon as a bachur gives over the chabura, then he's no longer going to be a mekabel from his rebbe. He sees ich bin aman de amar oichet, and I'm already ready to give over. That's not your role right now. Your role right now is to be a mekabel, not a giver over it. We obviously have to do chesed, but that's not your ikar role in life right now. And Mimela, none of Inaviyu wanted to jump the gun. They were going to be potentially the Mashpim in Klal Yisrael. But they jumped the gun. They wanted to take over at this point. They want to be the ones to give over. Now watch how the Midrashim fall into place. It's remarkable. The first one is that they were Motsai Yamusu. When are these two going to die? Obviously, that's the urge because we want to take over. Number one. Number two, they were Moreh Halacha Bifnei Rabba. Number three, they weren't Notel Eitza Zumizu. I don't need to ask you. I can decide on my own. They're not willing to be Mekabel. And you know what happens in life? When you take an energy and you invest that energy where you shouldn't, then you'll generally take it away from somewhere where you should. So where they wanted to be mashpia and they shouldn't, so then when they should have been mashpia, they should have got married and had children. The husband is the mashpia. They should have given their pasla over a drachim. Be mashpia on people. There, they detracted. Why? Because somewhere else, that's a rule in life. Where a person expresses himself in an inappropriate way in one area, it's going to take away the energy that he should be using to express it in another area.
What's Shisuya Yayin?
Excellent question. How does Shisuya Yayin fit into this? Wonderful, wonderful question. How does Shisuya Yayin? Everything else is working well. What about Shisuya Yayin? So it's a very interesting thing. You know, you have a Zohar and you have a Nekeva. A Zohar and a Nekeva. A Zohar means bracha. The Zohar is the gematria of bracha, 227. You know that? Zohar is bracha. I mean, I'm not bragging, I'm just saying. A Zohar is the gematria of bracha. And the keva, believe it or not, we find the first word when Bilam says, ma ekov lo kabokel. The keva, ekov, is the same root. Sounds like curse. And when Lavan says to Yaakov, Nokva Schorcha Olai Ve'eteina, Nokva is Mamishalosh and Nekeva, same letters. Nokva Schorcha, what's the difference in Schorcha and Nekeva? Bracha, whenever we talk about bracha, a brecha is a spring. It flows outwards. A bracha is something that expands. It's a mashpia. It gives out. What does a Nekeva do? A Nekeva, what is curse? Curse means limitation. Nokva Schorcha. Lavan says to Yaakov Avinu, okay, let's not leave this open-ended over here. Even though Lavan is white means that he himself, nothing is, it's all open-ended. Whatever deal you made with Lavan, it could go anywhere, right? It's like a white background, which you can write anything on it. Lavan, when it comes to himself, everything is open-ended. Lavan, you know, whatever you decided, I'll let you know if I've changed my agreement or my commitment. Nokva, let's not leave it open. Let's set a price. Rabosai. Who in a husband and wife relationship, who is more likely to one day say, I got an idea. Let's mortgage the house, take all the money, and go for the big one. Right? And the other spouse says, we're not going for the big one. We're not mortgaging the house. We're not pawning the children. We are just going to go to work every day. And now, who is more likely to be the male in this scenario? And who's more likely to feel that? We don't need an answer. We all know. Nakva is a limitation. A woman puts away. There's nothing deprecating, nothing derogatory. A zachar is expansion. We're out there. We're all over the place. We got wonderful ideas. If a man stays at one job for 3 weeks without thinking I need a switch of a job, he's doing really well. Oh, the female, 9 months, she can carry a baby. I'd like to see any man do that. Impossible. Nekeva means limitation. A zachar is 227. Nekeva is the gematria 157. The difference between them is 70, which is the gematria of Yayin. Shisuye Yayin means they were really supposed to be in Nekeva mode. They're supposed to be in Makabel now, a mushpa. Shisuye Yayin means that they've now gone into Zohar mode. They want to be the Mashpia. They're jumping the gun. It's exactly what we said. Everything about Nadav and Avihu represents everything. We're talking about Mikrova and Kadesh. These are people who Moshe Rabbeinu said, they're bigger than you and me. That's what he said to Aaron. They're bigger than us. Everything about them represents that they want to jump the gun and they want to go into Hashpah mode. So then Chazal say, How did they die? They went in, and two threads of fire went into their nostrils, and it burned out their neshama. So the first question is why through the nose? Why did the fire go through the nose into nostrils? Okay, that's the source of life. But one of the Mephoshim says, if you walk into a room, what's the first part of the body that enters a place that it shouldn't enter? The nose is the first part that goes in. For most people, the nose is at the front of the face. Most people, that's where the nose is. And when you walk into a room, so the nose is the first part. They go, we even have an expression, don't stick your nose into other people's business, right? Nobody says, don't stick your ears into other people's business. Nobody says, stick your nose into other people's, because the nose is the most prominent part. And therefore, when a person walks into a room, so the first thing they did wrong is they walked into an area they shouldn't have walked into. Mimela, the nose is the first part walked in. But I saw also, it says, you know, the Gemara says that Rabbi Gamliel, who was the leader of Klal Yisrael, he had a nickname. He was called Baal HaChotem. He was called the man with the nose. Rabbi Gamliel was the leader of Klal Yisrael. Why? Because as the leader of Klal Yisrael, the same way that the nose leads the face, he's the leader of Klal Yisrael. So that makes a lot of sense again, that the nose represents leadership, which is the part that they wanted to take on. And Mimela, they got the punishment is through the nose, because the nose represents the leadership, the desire of Nadav and Avihu to cross over into that area where they were not yet roy. But it's more than that, because the Chazal say that their bodies did not burn, only the neshama burnt. So understand if they did something so wrong, so why is it that the body didn't burn? Normally a person does something wrong, so Mimele is even though Srefa is only Srefa itself is an internal burning, because they Srefa the Misas Bezdin is where they swallow the molten lead, or the molten lead is inserted. Most people don't swallow it willingly, it's inserted. Here you have that Nadav and Avihu, the neshama burnt, but the guf was kayim. We have a precedent for that. Where is there a precedent for the neshama is burnt and the guf is kayim? So we find, where's that? Avram Avinu's brother. Lot's father is Haran. And when Avram Avinu goes into the fire, so then, you know, everybody, we've all learned the Medrash, but let's think about this a little bit. Avram Avinu goes into the fire. So Chazal bring down the Haran and said, well, if Avram Avinu burns, so then I'm with Nimrod. And if Avram Avinu is alive, so then I'm with Avram Avinu. I want to ask you, Rabosai, honestly. There's a man standing in front of us. And there's a big fire, Chazal say, was the furnace that was used to make the bricks for Migdal Bovel. So we're talking about a very hot furnace. And a man standing in front of us, and we're second in line. So he walks in, and he doesn't burn. Right now, we're willing to go to the other side because our mindset was that if he does burn, I'm with the other side. He didn't burn. I mean, we still have a better option. So what are we going to do? Oh, yeah, I'll go into the... He didn't burn, so I'll go into the... I think most people would choose to go with the safer option anyway. Why would Haran follow Avram Avinu into the furnace if he's got a better option? The answer is, and what happens to Haran? He burns. Because I'll say it was only an internal burning, not the goof. Not the goof. The goof of Haran didn't burn. Only the inside. What does that tell you? I think the pshat is, you know, Haran's the father of Lot's. Lot's Mashiach. Haran is an ancestor of Mashiach. It's not a poshut person. Haran is a Baal Madrega, where I would say that if we were standing there, we ourselves wouldn't notice the difference between Avram Avinu and Haran. We wouldn't know which one is Avram Avinu, which one is Haran. He's on such a Madrega, he's willing to go into a furnace, because that's the better option for him. He does not want to join Nimrod. It's only because of the intimidation. And therefore, when Haran goes in, the difference, in other words, to survive a furnace, a person needs to be on such a madrega of emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu to survive a furnace. But to survive a furnace physically, even if the neshama burns, a person also needs to be a baal madrega. Haran is such a baal madrega that the difference between Avram Avinu and Haran is so subtle, it's almost invisible. Wouldn't be able to see it. It's only internal. The internal burns. Somebody looking for the outside wouldn't see the difference. Mimela Haran's body doesn't burn. Nadav and Avihu go into the Beis HaMikdash, they go into the Kodesh HaKodashim. with all of Chazal, whatever Chazal are telling us. But Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron, they're bigger than us. What's the right? What Madrega Nada Virvian? Their flaw is so subtle over here. The misstep is so subtle that we ourselves can't even see it. It's only the neshama that burns and the body doesn't burn, because the external, the visible part doesn't burn. That we can't see. It's on such a subtle level that only the inside is burned. What's Aaron's response to all this? Vayidom Aaron. Aaron doesn't say anything. So, the next part is the parsha of the Shusuya Yayin. What's Aaron's reward for not saying anything? His reward is, Rashi says, he gets the nevuah of the Isser of Shusuya Yayin, not to walk in Shusuya Yayin. Aaron gets the nevuah, that's his reward. The answer is, a person who experienced nevuah was such an intense pleasure. It was such an intense experience. It's like a person, I think that the closest we get, I don't know, sometimes a person gets it from learning or doing mitzvahs, but sometimes you feel connected. Many people like a Kabbalah Shabbos, a good inspirational l'chod dodi. A person, you can directly taste me'ein olam haba, that feeling. A person who learns a Tosos, it gets a pshat in the Gemara. There's a certain feeling that a person gets a certain indescribable sense of fulfillment and contentment. Nevuah is compounded by so many dargas that a person who experienced nevuah, once a person experienced nevuah, he never had any desire in Olam Hazeh again except to achieve nevuah again. I knew a man in Israel. Became a Baal Tshuva. He had been a drug addict. And he was out of drugs for 20, 25, 30 years. And his wife said to somebody, her husband still has never found the satisfaction that matches the experience of the drug, the high that he got on drugs. So a person understands, nevuah is a very high madrega. What's one of the requirements for nevuah? What's one of the requirements for nevuah? A person has to be in a state of simcha in order to achieve nevuah. That's what requirements. A prerequisite for nevuah is simcha. Aaron just suffered an unspeakable tragedy. His two sons are nifter, and he gets a nevuah immediately afterwards. That means that the Vayidom Aaron is not only that he restrains himself from saying something or restrains himself from showing his grief. That means that somewhere inside Aaron, I don't understand how it works, which means that we probably ourselves don't understand exactly what simcha is. But Aaron has to be on a darga of simcha now in order to experience that nevuah that he's going to get about the Shesuya Yayin. So the Vayidom Aaron is not only shutting down the physical expression of speaking, Vayidom Aaron is shutting down some sort of emotional response where Aaron is able to maintain a state of simcha. And he maintains a state of simcha, mela he zocha to the nevuah of Shesuya Yayin.